everyone. My name is BK, International Talent Scout. I'm bringing a brand new show to you called BK Presents. 30 minutes, nonstop, your favorite in gospel music. The studio session. Going deep into interviews with your favorite artists, producers, and their engineers. You and your music. Concert previews and concert reviews. Get it all on BKPresents.com. I'm on the phone lines with a book author, conference presenter, and a TV show host. And her name is Taryn N. Tarver. The first time I met her in person was at TBN Studios in the conference room. And she's a great woman of God. How you doing today, Taryn?
Hi, I'm so glad to be on with you, BK. Very exciting. Yes, we met at TBN. I think we're in Seattle, right?
Yes, we met in Federal Way. And I've done about 4 interviews with Taryn. We've been knowing each other a while. You have a new book out. What is the name of your new book?
Well, my new book is called Hidden in Plain Sight, Unmasking the Narcissist. So it's about narcissistic abuse and narcissistic personality disorder.
Why did you write this book, and who are you trying to help?
Well, the book is absolutely, it became a personal journey of my own, but it was amazing because one time I remember a prophet, Joni Ames, reached out to her because I was in a situation, I was in a marriage that was very strange, and I was trying to figure out what happened. And I couldn't even explain it. And everything was so odd, but everything was wrong. And so I called her up one day, and she is an amazing prophet. First of all, she worked with Derek Prince. She worked with Jimmy Swaggart. She worked with the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker before the fall. And she's very, very well accepted in the Elijah list and the prophetic community. So she's very intelligent. And so I called her on the phone and I said, I don't know where to even start. And she said a joke and it calmed me and gave me peace. She said, well, when you don't know where to begin, you just begin at the beginning. And then I just started explaining things to her as best as I could. And she said to me, you know what this sounds like? My friend had these exact same symptoms because narcissists carry 9 traits from the DSM-5. And that is the book, the diagnostic book that tells you about personality disorders, mental disorders, conditions, and there's over 250 of them. And so it characterizes the characteristics of what a narcissist is. And you have to have 5 of them to be labeled a narcissist. So people say all the time, well, isn't being a narcissist a good thing at times? Well, narcissism by itself is okay. Meaning like I have the belief in myself that I'm a good person. I have the belief in myself that I can win. Everybody's got to have that. You need that to be successful. But when it becomes a personality disorder, where I will kill, steal, destroy, do anything to make sure that I win. It's like a Nancy Kerrigan type situation where I'm gonna hurt you so you can't win ahead of me. I'm going to lie. I'm going to manipulate. I'm going to change documents. I'm going to, it's some born identity stuff. That's when it goes over the edge. So there's a difference than having a form of narcissism that everyone needs to succeed versus having a personality disorder where you'll destroy you, they'll destroy you, no matter if your kid, they're their children, or you're their pastor, or you're their parent.
What are the 5 characteristics of a man that a lady in church should be aware of before she says, I do?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this. It's not just, even though the percentage is that 75% are men. However, the women that are narcissists are the worst.
Oh, wow. I need to look out for that. I'm not married. I don't want to marry one. What I got to look out for?
So I just want to clarify that. And that is, I'm looking at this. It's a study done by University of Pennsylvania. And it's called the Perelman School of Medicine. They did a study by Corey Neiman, and he said that those women that are narcissists are actually worse than men. And if you've seen the movie Gone Girl, I mean, she plotted against that guy. She ruined his whole life. Another movie I'll give you, and I'll get to your answer too, is Jennifer Lopez, Enough. The guy plotted against her to get her to marry him. When she finds out he's cheating, he slaps her, goes out the door, and expects her to be that wife regardless. And then he's plotted her family and her friends and everybody against her. Okay, so there's that. I also have children's movies that you can see forms of narcissism. And I have a whole list of them because they're everywhere. So they're becoming more prevalent. Somebody just told me that Rockin' Ralph for the kids, he shows narcissism there. So let me answer your question. Because everybody should be looking for these characteristics. They're not just in a relationship. It can be a boss. It could be, once again, it could be a pastor. Because I've had, in my book, I talk about I had a pastor who was a total narcissist, and he was just controlling the people, and it was out of order. It was using biblical principles. So I'll help you with all of that by the time we're done, and you'll be able to look for a narcissist. I mean, locate one if there's one in your life, because at first they sweep you off their feet. It's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type situation. Okay, so watch this. I'm gonna go through the 9 characteristics according to the DSM-5 of what narcissists have to have. Now, they have to have 5 of the 9. So it may be different, it might not fit exact, but my book goes through different types of narcissistic personality disorder. So you'll know that there's different types there too, okay? So there's different types of it. So there we go. So 9 characteristics of narcissistic personality disorder. You can look this up on Wikipedia as well, and you can watch a documentary called Egomania that will really help you a lot, okay? Number 1, they have an exaggerated self-importance, okay? So a grandiose personality about themselves, how important they are. They believe that they are extremely unique. Now, this cannot happen without me. The party doesn't start unless you're there. The company can't run unless they are the people that are running it, and nobody else is better than they are. They have to be the best. They want to take the credit for everything. Number 3, they require excessive adoration. They have to be admired. They want you to praise them. If you go to correct a narcissist, you better be ready for your head to get bit off, because they cannot receive any correction. They will not allow themselves to be corrected. You have to praise them, okay? So they don't know how to handle, because in their brain, they have developed this thing that says, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great. And anytime somebody doesn't agree with them, they are the problem and they go after you, okay? So number 4, they have a sense of entitlement. They want to be married. They want the status of marriage. They want to marry the guy or the girl that looks like a beauty queen or what have you, but they don't want to love you. They want to have things and items, but they don't want to work, maybe, you know, or they're working excessively to keep up with the Joneses just for the image. Image is important. They praise you in front of people, and they're telling you how much I love my wife. She's amazing. She's awesome. They get in the car and they're like, I can't stand you, you ugly fat cow. And they're like, you're like, who said that? And they don't have any understanding that they have just hurt your feelings, because they don't have any empathy, which is number 5. They lack empathy. They are not able to empathize with you at all.
So wow, they cannot stop. This is so amazing. I know a whole bunch of people like this.
Yeah.
I know. Wait, let me go through my list. My producer said I can't give my list. But, okay, so my next question, you have just blown everybody's circuits on this radio show. My next question,
Wait, you have to get through the 9.
We can't do the 9 because we're trying to get to your book.
We're talking about the book.
I know, but we need to know the favorites.
You want to go through the 9? Because it doesn't work unless everybody knows the 9. So I'll rush through.
Okay, we got 4 more, you guys.
So
get ready.
They lack empathy. It's like, what? You know, what's the problem? You know, you're an idiot. You're dumb. You're stupid. You know, shut up. You know, I just cheated on you. So what? What's the problem? I don't understand. They can't empathize with you. It's that Ike and Tina thing when she was like, I just had a baby and I'm tired. And he was like, you just like all the rest of them. You know, get out on there and do what I want you to do. You know, there's no understanding that your body's broken, that you're tired, that you need help, that you need financial help, that you need anything. And if you need something, forget it. They are not about to give it to you. Matter of fact, if they even think you need it, they're going to do the opposite of whatever you need. Lack empathy. Number 6, They're envious of others and believe that others are envious of them. Everybody's jealous of them. Everybody is after me. You know, they just don't want me to succeed. They have themselves on this big pedestal, comparing themselves to others of how great they are, you know. So number seven, they behave in arrogance or haughtiness. They're very arrogant, very haughty. So maybe they have to have the best muscles or the best clothing, and everybody has to see me in this light. You know, it's not about, ooh, I just take a bunch of selfies of myself. No, this is beyond that. This is about an arrogant haughtiness that will do anything to look better. So if that person had some beautiful, nice makeup while everybody's taking pictures, they went and messed up the people's makeup. So now they're gone, or they threw it in the trash. You know, they will do anything sneaky, sly. It's a deceptive spirit, okay? Number eight, they're preoccupied with fantasies of success and the perfect image, okay? They're preoccupied with these things. Success is always on their mind, and they are larger than life. They would do anything to be on top, and, you know, they want to be that celebrity, the prime time, the center stage, you know? That's how low, I'll just compare it to a movie. That's how low-key knew exactly, that's how Iron Man knew exactly where Loki was when they were looking for him. He's like, this guy wants to be prime time. He wants to be center stage. He wants to be on a big, big billboard. And he's like, oh my goodness, I know where he's at. He was at his house because Iron Man is actually labeled as a narcissist. He's all about self, okay? Now, number nine, they take advantage of others. So they really take advantage of others. And so they will use you to get to their ends mean. And when they're done with you, they will cut you off. Oh, you were married to you, but now I got a new woman and I'm done with you. Okay, I got a new person, this new job. Forget the fact that you have been here my whole life. Forget the fact that you have been, you spent all your money and all your savings. You know, forget the fact that you have been kind to me and all those things. I don't need you anymore. I'm on top now. And they will leave you like they never knew you. They will leave their children. They will leave behind. They will do anything to irritate and disrupt your life. So out of those, there's only one out of the nine that they have to be labeled a narcissist. They have to have a lack of empathy. They cannot empathize with you and your feelings. They cannot ever be wrong. They cannot say that they're sorry. They do not take ownership. And if they do, it's just to say, like, hurry up. I said I'm sorry. Now stop it. No. What are you crying for? Stop. Get over it. I said I'm sorry. You're so stupid, you know. And they say a lot of arrogant comments. So there you go. There's the nine characteristics of a narcissist according to the DSM-5.
Wow. Now, what's the favorite chapter in your book?
You know what? I don't know if I have a favorite chapter, because when I read through, I wrote this one a long time ago. My newer one is about sociopathic narcissism. And when I was reading through, it was almost like it was a third person, so it was really interesting to me because I forgot a lot of the stuff.
Okay.
And so I have a lot of sections that I think are very helpful, because I talk about people who are in church, how pastors and leaders can be narcissists.
What?
They used your love for God. So you have to follow them as they follow Christ. When you notice that the attitude is nasty and mean behavior and harshness, and or they're making sexual advances at you, you need to run the other way. That is not of the Lord. And they will say, they'll convince people, you're going to be my wife. He had like 10 girls convinced they were going to be his wife. And now, as technology grew, people start taping and recording things. And this is where you have to recognize that leaders, and yes, pastors and people, can be manipulative. They are not always there. If they don't represent the spirit of God, the kindness, the love, they wouldn't do anything unscrupulous to get what they want, you know? And they're, you have to just recognize these things. So I've had tons of people who come out, and I can always recognize when the leaders are narcissists. And they're usually accusing of other people. They talk about people when they leave. They tell everybody over the pulpit about their business. Like, this is not biblical. We don't do that. It's about restoration and love. They slander. They'll talk about them. They'll slander. They're big slanderers. They will talk about your past. They will plant people against you, whether it be your family or anybody else. So when you encounter a narcissist, it's best for you, if they're a leader and you have to deal with them, or a boss, you just keep healthy boundaries, and you make sure the Devil Wears Prada is a really good one, because no matter what the lady did in the Devil Wears Prada, the lady was so nasty to her. She was so rude to her, so not appreciative, all about herself, all about making her sacrifice everything and anything and stepping over people, not caring about anyone's feelings. You'll see these in patterns over and over again.
Wow, where can people get your book?
They can go to lifelinetnt.org. I'll actually put it on the, I'm actually on YouTube too, and as well I'm on Facebook. So lifelinetnt.org, you can go there and you can get the book there. And there's quite a few podcasts on YouTube as well. So I talk about it pretty frequently.
What happens when you're with a narcissist?
The people that are with narcissists, they never accomplish their goals. They never hit their purpose because they're always so busy trying to, you know, move to catch this dangling carrot that keeps moving. So you keep doing to make things work and they're not doing anything to make anything work. So you learn how to appease a narcissist if you're a child one, unless you rebel. Like a lot of kids will get older, they will never deal with their parent. They don't really, the parent never acknowledges that they did anything wrong. You know, even like Joyce Meyer, her father molested her all those years. And then when she went and confronted him, he said he didn't do anything wrong. For 38 years, it took him to actually, it took him 38 years to actually admit that he even did anything wrong. Okay, so it's not usually until they get older and then they may try to get it right. But, you know, then there's time they may never, ever, you know, ever say that they did anything wrong. It's always your fault. You did something. You're the reason that they are the way they are. And so you see, those are the parents that can never really give love and honor and respect to their children, too. So
we're going to commercial break. We'll be right back on BKPresents.com.
Have you ever heard a powerful message and wish you could share it right now with your family member who's out of state and a CD might not be the answer? Let me introduce to you Genuine Life Media, affordable podcasting for any ministry. We can help you get set up in less than 7 days and have your sermons or episodes available worldwide on your website and through subscription services like iTunes. Visit GenuineLifeMedia.com to launch your ministry. Genuine Life Media, joining forces to spread the gospel worldwide.
All right, this is BK Presents. We're back from our commercial break. Let's get back into the interview. All right, the toughest question of the night. If a sister in church is married to a narcissist, what's the healthy way for her to end the relationship and how can she go get help?
Wow, huge question. I can only speak from experience because I did a lot of prayer twice about this. And I really was concerned about pleasing God because I understood I was in a covenant. And I have a friend whose mother is married to a narcissist and she is just worn out. She's drained. She's tired. It's like being married to a little kid, but you know, that's a man. And she has to take care of everything. He doesn't really leave. Now, she's, of course, been married for like, you know, 45 years and she's going to stay in it. And that's that. They're 80 years old now. Okay. But she's lost a lot of her life and never got to accomplish all of her purpose because it's been a drain for her. Now, there are some people that may be called to stay into something like that. I didn't know what God was going to call me to do. For me, I got a prophetic word that God was actually going to remove the person, and that was interesting. The next, God actually just exposed the person. I mean, so in the meantime, I was still concerned about what to do. And God didn't just expose him. God showed me that he was operating, not if his name was the same name as this other attorney. And he was faking like he was an attorney. He lied to us, said he was an attorney. Every time he got on the mic, he was like, I'm an attorney. And he was never an attorney. He never went to law school. He was just a liar. And he was a manipulator. And he was good. And he could preach and he could teach. And my church ordained him because of me, you know? And I introduced him to all of my people who now don't know who to believe. And it was very interesting. Thank God for that, because it showed me who my real friends were and who wasn't my real friends, because I was surprised. Like, he ended up moving in with my head intercessor. I mean, who does that when you're my intercessor, you know? So it was really interesting because my concern was handling it biblically and handling it right. And so the Lord had given me a dream. Actually, Mama Dorothy, she was an old elderly lady. He gave her a dream that the guy was going to kill me. And I still was concerned about honoring God because I wanted to be right in the sight of God. So I was praying about it. So like 3 months later, I was in Oregon getting ready to come back to California. I spent the night at my daughter's house because I was catching a flight out of Eugene and she had gotten really sick. And I woke up in the same dream that Mother Dorothy had on my spirit, so much to where I prayed in the spirit for 3 hours for my flight, the drive to the flight, the whole flight there. I said, God, even if it's an accident, he's going to kill me. I need you to remove him if that's the case. And when I got back, because he never worked, like I was supporting everything. He got here like he was this big shot lawyer and he did not work. And so I had a lot of reasons why you would technically be like, I'm getting out of this. He was verbally abusive. He was tearing up stuff that wasn't his in the house. Of course, it's easy to tear up stuff when you throw temper tantrums like you're a kid. And I still didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my goodness. So I tried to talk to the church. That didn't help. Nobody was helping. I finally saw a counselor for him and he was semi-honest with the counselor because I have pictures and stuff. I'm like, you have to protect yourself. So I had to take pictures of what he was doing. I had to videotape him and the things that he was doing. He would manipulate like he was going to kill himself if I didn't do what he wanted me to do. So I had to start whipping out the camera and taping him because I'm like, I'm not losing my kids over this foolishness. So I was still praying, asking God what to do and still doing my best to walk in love during that time. So I wanted to honor God. So when I had that dream that he was going to kill me now, and we had found out that he had borrowed $3,500 from this business right next door to mine, never paid any bills with it, just took the money and told the guy he was going to give him money. He was a con artist. So when we realized this, I still was asking God what to do. So when I had the dream, I prayed God to remove him. When I got back, because I told him he had 6 weeks to get a job, making $3,000 a month only, he packed up and moved over to this ministry house. And I was like, oh my goodness, God, you removed him. I didn't have to pack him up. I didn't have to have a big issue. He literally, through the prayers that God had me pray, he thought it was his idea. So what I like to say is that you have to allow God to give you wisdom. If you're not married to him, you have no ties to him. If it's a boyfriend situation, you got to get out of that. You have to run for your life. You have to do everything to cut ties. You need to don't look on their Facebook. I never look on this man's Facebook. I never. If people send me stuff, I'm like, hey, do me a favor. Please don't send me any pictures of what he's doing. I don't care how he looks. I don't care if he looks like a woman. I don't care what's going on in his life. I don't care. I don't want to know. Don't send me anything because I don't need to know what this man is doing. And so, what was really interesting to me is that God removed him. And on both cases, God did the removing. And so, because God will know where your heart is. And, you know, sometimes I'm going to say this, and this is going to ruffle some feathers, but you got to read your scripture to know it. This gave me a lot of comfort this year. And it's like, gosh, Lord, I'm a prophet. Like, how did I end up like this? How did this happen to me? I'm out getting divorced again. Are you kidding me? What in the world is going on? Well, let me tell you something. I was reading in the Bible with Samson, and this was so awesome. I heard a pastor say it, so I had to go see it for myself. And it said that he wanted to get married to this Philistine woman. And we know that that was quote unquote forbidden. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to marry the people that were among them. And his family says, isn't there one around here that you can marry? Isn't there one that you can choose? And it said, but they did not know it was of the Lord. I have been, get that. They did not know it was of the Lord. God knew that marriage was not going to work out. God, it didn't even last through the marriage week. It was done. It was a wrap. But it got Samson to do what God wanted him to do, which was take revenge on his enemy. Okay? Through this process, the Lord has had me help so many people. I have counseling all over, nationwide counseling. There's people that don't understand a narcissist. Do you understand that? Therapists do not like dealing with narcissists, that they don't understand them. And so when you get a person who has actually lived it, they understand, it brings you a peace because then you feel like you can move forward. But other people are just kind of like, huh, really? Wow. And you're like, okay, I can't talk to you. No, I've had people call me with some very crazy stories. And we were able to have a session. They sign up on my website for a session, or they go through like a 6-week detox session. And it helps them to get back on track with their life and their goals and go back into purpose and to make this, you know, this thing a part of their testimony as opposed to being better. And you get a lot of people that want to expose them. You get a lot of people that want to go and confront them and they want to get revenge. And I'm like, oh, no. See, you're still giving them too much attention. That's too much power to be giving them. Don't look on their website. Don't look on their Facebook. Don't look at anything they're doing because they do not matter. When you start giving them what they want, that's giving them what they call in the MPB world, supply. They will take good reactions, bad reactions. If they know, you don't know how much you hurt me, they're like, yes, it's like a leech. It's feeding them. If they know they hurt you, if they know they harm you, the best thing you can do is leave them alone. So if you're in a situation and you're married, pray about it, how what God would have you to do. If there's abuse, you definitely need to get some help and get out of that situation, especially physical abuse or any sexual abuse or whatever's going on. If something is out of line, you need to get out of that situation and you can seek help and counseling. I contacted the Hudsons and they are amazing. It's a husband and wife couple, and they were the
Are they a Christian couple?
Oh, yeah. They were the chancellors of my Bible college. And I had they were really well respected. So they're doctors as well. And I prayed about who to talk to, and I called them and I talked through with them. And every week we met and talked. We talked through it every week, and we allowed God to step in and acknowledged him, and God had his say so. So because of that, things operated, you know, very well, and it was really good. So, and then after that, I went through Mickey Wade's grief recovery counseling, and I went through his fresh awareness and all those things to make sure I put my kids in counseling just to make sure they were okay. You know, I wanted to make every necessary step to make sure that all the pieces go back in the puzzle like they're supposed to, you know.
What, have you ever spoke at a women's retreat?
Tons of them, all the time.
when you speak at the women's retreat, do you talk about your book or what is your favorite topic when you talk to women at the?
I can try to plan a topic, and sometimes it's okay and it works, and sometimes it doesn't. God has his way. However, but this topic on narcissistic personality, if they have become, it's usually specifically for it. One of the girls, even with like the shares a lot, is Rock Paper Scissors, you know, the foundation in Seattle.
Crystal,
yeah. And so there's a lot of narcissism and abuse. People who come from abusive relationships usually have a narcissist in their life. They're usually, they go hand in hand.
Did you speak at one of Crystal's events?
I have not spoken at one of Crystal's events, but I've definitely talked with a lot of their people. And, you know, Crystal's connected with Carla, and Carla and I went to high school together. And so they founded their book together. So I purchased their book. It was great. And I worked with, you know, I just any organization. I get asked to speak at women's shelters, women's organizations, men, women. It doesn't matter. I mean, anybody that wants me to come and speak, they can go to my website and submit something. And then, like, we have our conference coming up here in December. We do an annual conference once a year. And I don't really spend a lot of time talking about the narcissistic abuse unless I have to, or we'll do a panel discussion or a talk.
Wow. That is amazing. I think we have how many minutes? Oh, we got 3 minutes. We're going to end the show about your conference, and then we're going to have to interview you again about your TV show. So when is your conference and how people can check it out online?
Okay, well, the conference is December 7th and 8th, and we have an amazing lineup God has brought together, from Prophet Lovey to Marcus Rogers to Prophetess Obelia to Mickey Wade, to Chance Cessna, the Hudsons, and also Michelle Spirit Check, Michelle Collins. And we'll all be there. We're very interactive with you. It's a time where you come and allow God to encounter you, transform. You don't leave there the same. You are so, there's so many miracles, signs, and wonders that happen there. You leave there bold with power and authority. So it's going to be absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And we just booked a really great singer or two that's going to do a worship, so we're looking forward to that. And however, you can also go to our website, www.lifelinetnt.org, and you can actually register for the webinar if you can't make it. So if you want to join for the webinar and get a booklet or a t-shirt too, you can just go register there, and we'll be on Zoom so you guys can view the entire conference as well.
Now, what's the name of your conference?
It is our Lifeline Encounter 2018, and we're on Facebook as well Lifeline Encounter 2018. So we do it every year in December. It's always the same week in December.
Mm-hmm. How many years have you been doing the conference?
I think I probably did my first encounter in like 2007 or 2008, something like that.
Are you ever going to bring the conference to Portland or Seattle?
Wow. You know what? And I would never say never. I do have a group that I work with. Like, I do a webinar on Wednesday nights. It's free. And it's the teaching is in-depth teaching of the Word of God on the prophetic healing, deliverance, all those different things. And I have a group in Oregon that I work with a lot. So, you know what? You never know. You know, it could happen. It's just the fact that here, I usually have the speakers. They know kind of how we're very close-knit. We are very tentative to the people. We're very involved with the people. We're touched, you know. It's not like big eyes and little U's. You can't just fly in and do this encounter and fly out. And, oh, I spoke for you. No, it's not big shots. This is Jesus. This is intimate. This is close. I mean, this is breaking bread together and fellowshipping together and crying with you and getting the healing and deliverance that you need. And you leave there, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. You're like, oh, I already got all that. Well, if you got all that, new dimensions will be opened up to you. You will see things you've never seen before. It's always like that. So this year with Prophet Lovie Longoba there, my prophet, oh, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Because this man of God walks in the level of humility and love, and God honors him. And if you could be on the line on the webinar, and he'll call your name out. He'd be like, Ebony Johnson, and he'll call somebody out in another country. And then he'll say, I need you to call in. And he will prophesy to that person right there on the phone so everybody can see. Never seen him before.
Awesome. Now, every Wednesday you do a free webinar. How can they get in contact with you?
Everything is on www.lifelinetnt.org. So you can go there and click on webinar and you can link in. It's at 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. We do the webinar there. If they want the booklet, we will. They can pay $20 for the booklets too, because the materials we give are very helpful. So they can get that, and they can also order my book there as well. And they can book if they would like us to come to see if it fits in our schedule. We're booking for 2019. So if you have an event and you want, would like me or my team to come. However, you know, we're all in the humble mode. It's not like, ooh, I need to be in this 5-star hotel and all that stuff. It's not like that. You know, we love offering, and we just come and minister the Word of God and watch God transform lives and empower people with their TNT, with their power and authority, their dunamis power, the miracle working power and ability of God, and watch them go change their families, their communities, then change their confessions and everything around them, and watch them receive the things that God has for them.
Wow, that was nice. The next show that we do with you, Taryn, is you're going to talk about your TV show and your business. It's been a great time hanging out with you. You shared your life. You shared your book. You talked about the conference. We want everybody to get plugged in. And guess what, T?
What?
We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, BK. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Okay, God bless.
Hello, everyone. My God name bless. Is BK, International Talent Scout. I'm bringing a brand new show to you called BK Presents. 30 minutes, nonstop, your favorite in gospel music.
The studio session. Going deep into interviews with your favorite artists,
producers,
and their engineers.
You and your music.
Concert previews and concert reviews. Get it all on bkpresents.com.